नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके
भक्तेर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
देवकीनन्दनाय च
नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः. This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.8.30. It's the 13th chapter of the teachings of Queen Kunti. The vital force of the universe.
Janma karma cha vishvatman.
Ajasya karturatmanah. Tiriyannara rishishu yadasu. Tadatyanta vidambanam. Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend among animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. I am doing this series of verses from teachings of Queen Kunti in different places. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you find prayers of Mahatmas or Mahajanas, great devotees. Many such verses, many sections of Bhagavatam. And they are called as Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means the prayers that arise from the tongue of pure souls, impelled by the Lord, are inspired by the Lord. Just like in this world, people speak prajalpa. They say, you know, bakwas or kappa marna, they say, you know. And that arises from the tongue of people impelled by the three modes of material nature, especially rajoguna and tamaguna. They impel a person to speak some nonsense in this world. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, beautiful verse. Vilajjamanaya yasya statum notsahate amuya imohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyah. The beautiful verse. It says, the Maya Devi feels very shy in front of Krishna. Why? Because when she is trying to vimohita, bewilder the living entities of this world, Krishna knows what kind of, you know, Maya Jal she is putting on the living beings. Because Krishna's eyes are wide open, she cannot bewilder Krishna, nor can she cheat Krishna. So she feels very shy, vilajjamanaya yasya, it is said. She gets exposed in front of Krishna. Yaha Krishna taha nahi maya adhikar. So when Maya Devi is bewildering all the living beings of this world. When Krishna is watching her, she feels shy, it is said. But as far as the living entities of this world are concerned, she bewilders them thoroughly. That is why it is said, Vimohita, the bewildered living beings, Mama Aham, means Aham and Mama. Iti Durdiyaha. Durdiyaha, Dhi means intelligence. Durdiyaha means bewildered intelligence. Mama Aham Iti Durdiyaha. Considering themselves to be I am the greatest. I am the first one to do this. I am indispensable. Nobody can do this. Who is there in this world equal to me? Konyosti sadrisho maya. Who is there equal to me in this world? This kind of ideas arise in the mind of a bewildered soul. And he also speaks bluff. The living conditioned soul has a tendency to bluff. And his bluffing ability is made possible by Rajaguna and Tamaguna, called Prajalpa. In the same manner, the pure devotees of the Lord, their tongues vibrate helplessly, controlled by the spiritual potency, called internal potency, Antaranga Shakti of the Lord. Then, what do they speak? Their speech is full of nectar. Tavakathamritam tapta jivanam. The hearts of all living entities, because of doing prajalpa, has become like a desert. Well, not only prajalpa, they also have become envious of the other living entities, and they try to lord over them, dominate them, pull their leg, and talk ill of them, assassinate the character of other people with the desire to either pull them down or climb on their head. These kind of things are very common in the material world. And because of that, the heart of the conditioned souls has become parched, dry, completely. But the katha of the Lord or the glories of Krishna, which emanates from the tongue of the pure devotees, that is like a life-giving amritam. Tavakata amritam tapta jivanam. So in this way it is glorified. So they are called uttama shloka. Uttama shloka means, just like a veena, if somebody takes a veena and plays, like that devotee was playing with violin, what a very fine meter and how beautiful and sweet it is. Similarly, when the Lord decides to pick up a living entity and use the living entity to speak beautiful things, then the Lord can use him as instrument. Then just like Ramananda Rai was telling about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh my dear Lord, my tongue is like a string of a veena. And if a veena player plays very sweetly, you should not glorify the veena, you should glorify the player. Similarly, you are making me speak wonderful things, he said. So, these are called uttama shloka. Wonderful prayers come out of great devotees like Kunti, or Gajendra, or Prahalad, or Dhruva Maharaj. This kind of very great souls. So, devotees are very fond of reading these prayers, sometimes even memorizing them, holding them in their mind, and they are very good for contemplation, very good food for contemplation for devotees while going, while coming, remembering the meanings of these prayers. And they can give great enthusiasm in spiritual life by reciting them. So, keeping this in mind, I started lecturing on this series of verses by Kunti Maharani, who is a very great devotee of Krishna, who is a mother of five great devotees, Pandavas. So, in this particular prayer, what is she saying? Janma karma cha vishvatman. Vishva Atma means the soul of the universe. Like our body, every living body contains a soul. Similarly, the universe also has a soul. And who is the soul of the universe? Krishna is the soul of the universe. She is calling him as Vishva Atman. Shastra say, our body is also like a mini universe. Small universe, there are so many things going on in this body. But they will stop if the soul and super soul quit the body. There won't be any function in this body. We say a person is dead. Similarly, in the dawn of creation, all the necessary material ingredients were sent by the Lord into this universe, that nothing was moving. The demigods in charge of the eyes like the sun, the demigods in charge of the mind like the soma. So all the demigods, they saw that the Virat Purusha, the Virat Purusha means the universal gigantic body. Like, you know, all these planets that you see in the sky, from the top to bottom, from Brahma Loka down to Patala Loka, the whole thing is like a human being, like the form of a man. So, and who is that form? That form is called as the Virat Roop, it is called. And in the Shastras it is said, if somebody has an impersonal understanding of God, from there they can get promoted to the personal understanding of God by meditating on Virat Roop. And how they meditate on? They meditate that the mountains are the bones of the Lord, the rivers are the veins or the nerves in the Lord's body. The sun and moon are like the eyes of the Lord. And the Patala is the soles of his feet. And the Brahma Loka is the skull of the Lord. The oceans are like the pores in his body, are like the navel of the Lord. The oceans. So, this is not some kind of imagination or something, figment of imagination or something. Sometimes this form is called as an imaginary form for one reason, because this is not an eternal form. This is a temporarily manifested form by the Lord called as a Virat Rupa, which is a preliminary stage of personal understanding of God. It's an ABC in personal understanding of God. From here the personal understanding begins, from this. So when this Virat Purusha appeared, you know, you all know, might have heard of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying, from his navel comes the lotus. What is that lotus? Along with the stem, and that is the Virat Purusha. We generally call as the lotus and the stem the whole form of the Virat Purusha, which manifests from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And again, it goes back into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And he is glorified in that Purusha Sukta prayer says, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad. So, Sahasra Shirsha means thousands of heads. Sapurushaha Sahasra Aksha Sahasrapad. Yes, millions of legs, millions of eyes, millions of heads. So, he manifests like the Vishwarupa or Virat Rupa. So, the difference is the Vishwarupa is manifested to Arjuna. That is very rare. But the Virat Rupa is made up of all the 24 elements of this material world, conglomeration of material elements, from the bottom to top of the universe. And somebody asked Prabhupada, one disciple asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do we know that such a God exists, you know? Such a Virat Rupa exists, you know? We are not able to see the whole Virat Rupa from here, you know? Even with the telescopes, you only see planets here and there. But how to see the Virat Rupa? What is the proof? Prabhupada said, you know, we are in ignorance. So in ignorance you cannot see, but you read the Shastras, you learn to see that Virat Rupa by hearing. And then Prabhupada said, Lord says sun and moon are his eyes. Why can't you see? Are you not able to see the sun? Are you not able to see the moon? They are the eyes. Yes, Prabhupada, we are seeing the eyes, but what about the face of the Lord? Can't we see the face cut? Prabhupada said, sometimes in the night, you see a cat. But what do you see when you see a cat in the night?
Eyes.
Only the eyes are glowing, isn't it? But why you can't see the face of the cat? Because you are in darkness. So in ignorance, you can only see the eyes. So you are covered by the ignorance of the material world. You can only see the eyes of the Lord. Anyway, we can understand that the full form exists of Virat Purusha. So, that's a very basic. Vishwatman means what? The Virat Purusha is there, but Virat Purusha was not functioning. Right now you see the crows are crowing, the cuckoos are cooing, you know, the trees are moving and giving the wind, and all the living beings are inspired by the three modes of material nature and running hither and thither all over the streets of Pune. you know, busily preoccupied with their self-created duties. You can see that. That's a material world. It's a very busy place. But when Virat Purusha came in the beginning, nothing was moving. Everything was stagnant. But all the demigods, demigods in charge of the eyes, they went near the eyes. And each of the demigods near the parts of the body which they control. Like every nerve in our body is controlled by a demigod. Every limb of the body, like eyes are controlled by the sun, which means without the sun you cannot see. You can't even see your own hand also. Similarly, the mind is controlled by soma. And that is the reason why sometimes when there is a full moon in the sky, there is a high tide in the ocean, and many people go mad. Many mad people, especially mental asylum, they will make too much noise on full moon day. It's very difficult to control the mad people. Similarly, a man and woman, sometimes they show a moon, isn't it? They put a picture of a moon. What connection man and woman have with the moon? Or they say honeymoon? Why don't they say honey sun? Isn't it? Or do they say honey tree or something? They say honeymoon. Why? Because the moon is connected to the mind. Similarly, every part of the body, our digestion is controlled by some demigod. Like that, every hand, leg movement, even our eye blinking movement, everything is controlled by different demigods. So demigods in charge of different parts of our body, they all assembled and they tried to wake up the Virat Purusha by chanting prayers. But Virat Purusha was not getting up. At last, after everything, all the material elements were sent, the Supreme Lord invested the time potency into this world and he himself entered into the body of Virat Purusha as Antaryami, Super Soul. When he entered, immediately the whole universe became active after that. That is why Krishna is called as Vishwatman. Vishwatman means he is the soul of the universe. We used to sing a song in Tamil. You won't understand, but I'll tell you the meaning. Naan asaindal asayum ahilam ellame. He's saying, when I move, the whole universe will move. The ocean will have the waves, coming and battering in the shores of the ocean. The birds will fly in the sky, the trees will move, and the sun will rise. Sun will set and the moon will rise. The seasons will change. The crops will grow. All these things will happen. The Lord says, when I wave my hand or when I create the movement. So he is called as Vishwatman. Just like a living body as the Atma. If the Atma is there, it's living. Otherwise, there's no life in the living body. So he is calling, my dear Lord, you are called Vishwatman and you are also called as Ajasya Akartur Atmanaha. Ajasya means you are never born. Because God has no birth, God has no death at all. Like, you know, we are all born in this world at some point of time. And when we are born, you know, first 20 days or 1 month, we don't have any name also. After that, the parents decide, you know, we should have a name with beginning with one of these five letters, A, Cha, Ta, Pa, some name they find out from the Jyotish. And then they ask somebody, you know, which name you want to give, and they choose a name, and then they give us a name. Then they put a label for us, this is your name. Till then, we don't have a name at all. If somebody catches you on the first 1 week of your birth and asks you what's your name, you can't, you'll be in a confusion. Because we are nameless in the beginning. So we are given a name. But when Krishna appeared in the jail of Kamsa, as soon as he appeared, he had a name immediately. Why? Because he has name eternally. Because his body is eternal, his name is also eternal. Our material body is temporary, so our name is also temporary. And then again, next life, we are born in another family, they give a new name to us. Our name keeps changing like that. So we are born into some family. And our birth is made possible. How? Impelled by our karma. Good karma, bad karma. So the result of karma is prarabdha and aprarabdha, we call it. The prarabdha is the material nature impels us to take a body that is made up of flesh and bones. Why? Such a body is necessary for inflicting pleasure and pain. That is why it's the first installment of prarabdha karma. It is given to us. And then the aparabdha karma is remaining in a dormant stage in our subtle body, especially the mind. And then that will also eventually become prarabdha, eventually. Like for example, at the time of my birth, I am a small baby, I am, you know, playing games and enjoying life. But then as I grow, as the body grows, then the aparabdha karma becomes prarabdha, manifest. Like if you sow a seed in the ground and you water it, gradually the plant comes, isn't it? And then produces the fruit. Like that our aparabdha karma becomes prarabdha. How? In the form of some emotional suffering or physical suffering, diseases and all that, they also become prarabdha like that, eventually. So, we are taking birth in this world because we have material desires. And the material desires have to be given a shape. So we are given a body accordingly. Suitable body is given. And that's why we take bodies in this world. One after another we take. And because of that, she is telling about Krishna, ajasya, akartu. Two things. Taking janma and doing activity. In this world we take janam and we also do a lot of activities, as I was telling you, running here, there, which are technically called as self-created duties in the scriptures. Why they are called self-created duties? The living being in this world, he identifies with some family. My mother, my father, my relative, my friend, my job, my company. And then he creates a new duty for himself. And then he breaks his head with that duty. He says, I am very busy, you know. You don't know how my schedule is, you know. From the time he gets up in the morning till late night, he squeezes out his energy. Body is so much working hard. If I give you a simple example, you will appreciate the self-created duty. Once when he was traveling from US to India on the plane, one gentleman sitting next to me, you know, he opened his laptop and in the laptop he was playing a particular game. It is called as test for speed, they call it. Correct? You know that? What do you call it?
Typing.
In the computer, by typing. So what is the test for speed? So this fellow, they are showing a car going in a highway, you know, and then when he is going, lot of stumbling blocks come in between. And then he has to move it like this, like that, you know, it's going at a very high speed, you know. Suddenly some terrorists come, you know, they put a bomb, then he has to take a U-turn and come this way. And they chase after him, then he goes left, you know. And then he gets out of the car, he climbs up a building, and then they shoot him from below, you know. And he has to escape from them. My Lord, this fellow was pressing this button completely, you know. His eyes are completely glued to the, you know, screen. And he was breaking his head. For some time I was also breaking my head. Because I was watching it. I must have watched it for 2-3 minutes. I took my eyes away like this, you know. And then I lie down behind like this. And then peacefully I relaxed, you know. And I closed my eyes and relaxed. Dhyaga chantir anantaram. In a renowned state, you know. So at that time one thought came to my mind, you know, this material world is giving you enough headaches, you know? And this fellow is sitting inside the material world and he is putting himself in another illusion. He is creating another duty for himself, complicating his brain unnecessarily. See, you are sitting in an aeroplane and very nice air condition, you peacefully relax on your back, or do something fruitful, useful. And he turned around and saw, he saw Govind Prabhu and Gaurang Prabhu, and they had put their earphones and hearing lectures and making some notes, completely absorbed. So they were utilizing the time very valuably, usefully. So sometimes a living being, because of being impelled by the three modes of material nature, he creates many duties for himself unnecessarily. Like, you know, one gentleman in Pune, we went to meet him for some donation for the new temple. Nice man, pious man. Now he has got a sugar problem. And the sugar problem is going on increasing. Doctors telling, don't eat this, don't eat that, take care of this. And also it seems that sugar people are not supposed to do very stressful activities. Doctor has warned him. But then he tells Swamiji, doctor has warned me not to do stressful activity, but I need some special blessings from you, he said. Why? He said, you know, I am starting some big hotel. I am going to invest something like 80 to 90 crores. And he is already 55 or 60 now, you know, approaching 60. And he is going to start a new hotel somewhere in Shivajinagar, somewhere. The big hotel, he said, it's going to be the beauty of Pune. It's going to be the best hotel in entire Pune and all that. Of course, I didn't ask him. I wanted to ask him, your age is already, you know, they are 50 plus now. Ikavan, Bavan, take Vanaprastha. So, I thought I'll tell him in some occasion. You're getting old now and you're increasing your duty. Now he was telling me, when I told him, why don't you come to temple and spend some time in the weekend? And he said, Swamiji, you don't know how busy I am. He's already very busy. And he wants to embark on a new project which will make him even more busy. This is called self-created duty. You see? Unnecessarily, instead of winding up one's activities in the material world and going back to Godhead, people go on embarking on new projects. Complicating their life. Some people say, Prabhuji, do you say that, you know, we have to become like a beggar, you know, give up everything and say, I have nothing to do, you know? No. We have to do something for our livelihood, for our survival in this world. You know, but we should be, our activity should be such that we have adequate time for Krishna also. So, the living entities are very busy in this world. Their birth is made possible by impelled by previous karma, and their activities are made by their whimsical mind, which keeps on cooking new ideas for keeping themselves busy in materialistic activities, which have no connection to God at all, which takes them more and more far away from God, you see. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, he is called as Ajasya, he is unborn. He never takes any birth at all. Even when he appears in the womb of Devaki, we should know his birth did not happen like our birth. Now, somebody is having a seminal discharge, they are putting semen in the womb of a woman, and then the baby grows with flesh and bones, and then in the ninth month the child is pushed out of the womb of the woman. Krishna did not appear like that. Krishna first appears in the mind of Vasudev, then he enters into the heart of Devaki. And suddenly when Devaki and Vasudev were sitting and talking, suddenly he appeared from the heart, just like that. He popped out. How he came out, nobody knows. And he gave darshan with Shankachakra Gada Padman. Devaki was amazed. What kind of child did I give birth to? She was shocked. She was amazed. In fact, Vasudeva was telling, my dear Lord, how is it that you occupied the womb of Devaki? This womb is not the regular womb which women are having. This is called Hridaya Garbham. Hridaya Garbham means the heart is called as the womb, where the Lord is manifesting, and from there he appears suddenly. So, when he appeared like that, first Vasudeva said, this is very miraculous that you appeared from the womb of your devotee Devaki. And then he said, this is no wonder for me. You know why? Because Mahavishnu creates so many universes from his body. So many universes come out. Millions of universes, Ananta Koti Brahmand come out. And then he enters into each of those universes. Is it not? As Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Not only that, then he enters into each living entity's heart. That is called as the Paramatma, Super Soul. If you are entering into the universe and entering into the heart, we may ask a question. Are you inside the universe or are you outside the universe? And one can be bewildered. Some people will say he's outside because he's Mahavishnu. He only created all the universes outside. And somebody else may say, no, Lord is inside. Because he's also as Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Shiradaksha Vishnu and Paramatma. He's inside. So, Lord's behavior is apparently contradictory, but there is no contradiction. Like here Prabhupada is saying here. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. Apparently contradictory. Apparently means it's not contradictory. They're all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is the all-prevailing super soul of all existence, and yet he appears in a form of boar among animals, in the form of human being as Rama, Krishna, etc., in the form of a rishi like Narayana, and in the form of an aquatic like Matsya Avatar. Yet it is said that he is unborn and he has nothing to do. So in the Shruti Mantras there is a verse, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samascha vyadikascha drishyate parasya shaktir vividaiva shuyate svavavaki jnana valakriya cha. See, the first line says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. He has no activity to do. It's a, and living beings in this world have a lot of activity to do because of their being subject to three modes. And Lord is unborn like this, but still he appears to be born for the pleasure of his devotees, like Devaki and Vasudev. Just to please them, the Lord appeared. Like sometimes you find a millionaire or a billionaire maybe in the garden, you know, watering the plants. You know, why he is doing that? He is not a gardener. Sometimes you have seen that? They do some gardening work, you know, simply like a hobby. They like to do. They are not paid to do. They are not obliged to do. But still they do. Just because they like to do it. They get some fun in doing it. So they do it. And nobody has told them to do. But they do it because they get some pleasure. So pastime or leela means an activity done for pleasure. For whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna delights in doing pastimes. Now, when he does pastime, Krishna also has his devotees, you know, who are his favorites, the most intimate and favorites. And for their pleasure also he does pastimes, leela. That is why he does activity. That means the only activity that Lord does is leela. Which means anything he does is leela, we can say. Otherwise he has no other obligation or work to do at all. Like all of you have come to college. Why do you study in the college? If you ask any average boy, you know, he may say, Guruji, you know, I want a good job which can fetch me some money. And then I can earn some money and serve my parents. And then if I marry, then I have wife, children, then I have to maintain them. So you have a reason for doing your studies. You have a reason for taking up a job. Because we have certain obligations to be fulfilled in life. So we need facility. We need to do some work like that. But Krishna has nothing to do because he has got the Ichcha Shakti. Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. With his Ichcha, if he desires something, he will get immediately. He just has to express the Ichcha, that's all. See, not only Krishna, even when one becomes a pure devotee, you know, pure devotees also have similar qualities like Krishna in minute proportion. Like you find once I observed in one of the yatras, you know, when one of the Raghunath Maharaj, he also decided that I will travel by bus with devotees. Generally comes in a car. So he wanted to come and sit in the front seat in the bus. So all devotees became jubilant. Maharaj, come to our bus, everyone was calling. Because they can go and show off to other devotees. The Maharaj came in our bus, you know. You can tell. So at last the Maharaj boarded one of the buses. And then in fact it was very cold. Nobody thought it is going to be so cold in the morning. And the bus started going very fastly. Chill wind started coming. And then Maharaj forgot to take the shawl or something. So he just asked Govind Prabhu, you know, is there any shawl or any blanket or something? You know? When Maharaj said it, and 25 devotees jumped up in the front giving their shawl and their bedding to Maharaj. Maharaj, please take this. Isn't it? Because later on they can tell, Maharaj took my shawl. This is a shawl Maharaj used. Mahamaha, shawl of Maharaj. So they were all jumping. So, of course, how many shawls Maharaj can use, you know? He can take only one. But I was thinking, just like Krishna has the Ichcha Shakti, his pure devotees also, advanced devotees, when they desire something, it immediately happens. That's all. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada, when he wanted to purchase the Fisher's mansion in Detroit. You know, when he came in and saw that, it was so beautiful. And the owner was very happy that Swamiji is smiling. You know, he seems to be very happy. He's going to purchase this. It was very costly building. I went last time when I went to US to see the place. Such a beautiful place it is. Right behind that palace, there's a beautiful lake also. If you open the window, you can see. And it is like a royal, very, very royal it is. So, Prabhupada saw that and smiled and he commented, this a mansion is fit for kings to live, he said. And the owner said, yes, Swamiji, you have rightly estimated, he said. But then Prabhupada said, but we are not kings, we are beggars, he said. And then Prabhupada said, and the man was thinking that Swamiji is going to propose some big amount. And Prabhupada openly, frankly, directly asked him, can you donate this building to us? Can you imagine? What courage you need to ask. Prabhupada had no fear at all. Because he is Krishna's devotee. He is asking on behalf of Krishna. Naturally, this man said, tell your Swamiji, this is $23 million or something. Like that, close to that. So, subsequently, of course, Prabhupada went with this Ford, Ambarish Prabhu and one Leka Shravanti Mataji, on either side of Prabhupada, showing him the place. There were golden taps and Gaurang Prabhu tells this pastime very elaborately. This is one of his favorites. You know, very, very costly. Like you go to the bathroom, you know, the knobs for the shower bath are all in golden, gold-plated. Gold-plated, silver-plated, like that. Very costly mansion. So then Prabhupada told them that, you know, we can ask him $3 million or something close to that. So, of course, they were very afraid to even ask him. But Prabhupada, you know, preached to him and spoke to him in such a nice way. At last this man came down to $3 or $4 million he agreed to give somehow. Yes, and then Prabhupada told them, immediately take out money, immediately both of you buy. He told them. And both of them put the money and they purchased it immediately. After 1 week, the man felt, you know, many of his friends told him, you did a big blunder, you got cheated. Such a costly palace you have given it in such a cheap money. That man came with a lorry and tried to pick up all the taps and other, like, you know, accessories. At least I will take this much and go. That much he put in the lorry and took that. So Prabhupada was telling them, you see, I came inside this beautiful fisher's mansion with empty hand. Now I am going out with empty hand. And this mansion has become a property of Krishna. Prabhupada said, nothing belongs to me. I never owned anything, I never own anything. But I am just converting everything in Krishna's name. It all belongs to Krishna. So, Prabhupada desired that let it become Krishna's property. It became Krishna's property. In Jew also Prabhupada said, no, to Radharas Bihari, very soon I'll build a beautiful palace for you. You know, Prabhupada desired. The pure devotee desires and Krishna fulfills. Similarly, Krishna also, you know, he has Ichcha Shakti, with which, you know, anything he desires immediately will be there for him. Anything, anytime. His Shaktis are all with folded palms waiting, requesting Krishna to order them. Please tell us, we will fulfill. That is why Krishna is Shaktiman. And all the energies are called Shaktis. Ichcha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti. All Shaktis are there at his disposal. Sandini, Sambit, Hladini. Hladini Shakti is the pleasure potency of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. And Radharani and her associates and all the devotees who are in Antaranga Shakti, you know, they give pleasure to Krishna by their sweetness of their devotion. Because amongst the pleasure he gets the most is the pleasure of his devotees' devotion to him. It is the purest which Krishna loves the most, which actually brings Krishna under the control of his devotees. So Bhakti is called as Krishna Akarshani. It attracts even the Supreme Lord himself. That is his pleasure potency. Similarly, the Sandini is is presided by Balramji. The flute of Krishna, the dress of Krishna, the spiritual world with even Mridangam, Kartal and all the paraphernalia of the spiritual world. These are all coming in the Sandini. Even Yamuna, you know, Yamuna is coming in Sandini Shakti also. And that is why Balramji becomes a lord of Yamuna also. You will see that. So it is all coming in Sandini. Sandini means all the energies in the spiritual world which Balramji expands himself as, and he serves Krishna in that way. So they are all at Krishna's disposal. Like you see the Vrindavan Dham, you know, in the morning when Krishna goes for herding the cows, it becomes very expanded, like a lotus. And the evening when Krishna wants to return home very quickly, it contracts. And very quickly Krishna is able to reach home. the evening when he wants to come. How nice it will be, like I used to go to my polytechnic 16 kilometers by bicycle. How nice it will be if it can contract in the evening and become 1 kilometer. You can immediately come home very quickly. Like lotus petals, if they are far away, they are nearby. Like that spiritual world contracts and expands. They are all at Krishna's disposal. You see? And Samvit potency is directly presided over by Krishna himself. Yeah, it's a knowledge potency. He is the embodiment of all wisdom, all knowledge. Everything about spiritual world, material world, there is nothing he doesn't know. So, in this way, all the Shaktis are at his disposal and he doesn't have to do any activity. If he does any activity, what is that activity called as?
Leela.
Leela. That is simply performed for pleasure. And I observed, because recently we have been going for cultivating big shots, in fact, even millionaires in this world, they also don't have much activity to do. But they are only getting this facility for one lifetime based on their previous punya. Next lifetime, I don't know what life, what body they will get. If they misuse the money, they may become donkeys or dogs or cats. And they will have to work hard like anything. But in this lifetime, because of the past punya, they are enjoying life, you know. They don't have much activity to do, to earn money. They have so much money. But of course, if they are under the three modes, they will be impelled by the modes, you know, you will go for this marriage, you go for this party, this obligation, that obligation, or expand business. They also struggle sometimes. But Krishna has everything, all the six opulences and all Aishwarya. But he performs pastimes, Leela, which is his only activity. And what type of Leela he does, she is telling, Tiriyan Naradishishu Yadasu Tatatyanta Vidambanam. You are coming in this world sometimes as a human being, apparently you look like a human being, sometimes you are behaving like a Rishi, Naranarayan Rishi, or sometimes like aquatic, like the Matsya Avatar, or sometimes like the Varaha Avatar. My dear Lord, you appear in this world in all these forms. Tadatyanta Vidambanam, this is very bewildering. Sun is very hot for all of you? No? Should we go down? I'll wait for you. Okay. Those devotees who are feeling little tired or sleepy, you can stand there and protect the other devotees in the sunlight. You can enter their service to devotees. Nice, no? Nice arrangement. So, you see, these are all different forms of the same Supreme Lord Krishna, which are explained. Like sometimes, your brother and a sister, they play with each other. Your brother sometimes may wear the mask of a lion. And sister is sitting and doing some homework. Suddenly this boy comes into the room. You see that sometimes boy... In childhood, we play so many games. Sometimes, you may call some elderly person, hey, bring your ear, I want to tell you something, and then you put your ear, they make a sound or something like that, you know. The person gets disturbed. So sometimes you play games like that. Similarly, you play games with your sister, you know, you put a mask of a lion, and you say like that, and immediately she screams like anything. Calling for the mother or father, she is running to the kitchen. Some lion has come, and then you remove the mask and say, you know, who are you? Show yourself. And then a sister becomes interested there, you know, afterwards, then she may also buy different masks, isn't it? Play. So, if she knows that you are the brother, then she has no more anxiety. Is it not true? In the same manner, when Prahlad Maharaj saw Narasimha Dev, he had no fear at all. Although everyone feared in this world. Even demigods were trembling. Everyone feared, except Prahlad. Prahlad saw him, this is Sakshat Vishnu, who has come in this form as a Narasimha to protect me and to destroy the evil forces in this world. So he had no fear at all. So the same Lord Krishna, he comes in various forms like that. He comes as a Matsya Avatar. You know, when the Satyavrata Muni, one day when he found this Matsya Avatar, the fish started speaking. Have you ever seen a speaking fish? He spoke and he said, please put me in a bigger place, this is very small. So he took and put it in a small puddle, small pond, but then became as big as a pond. Then he took the fish and put it in another much bigger lake, and it became as big as the lake. Then he arranged for the fish to be taken to much larger place. In this way he transferred, it became longer and longer and bigger and bigger. And then he put the fish in the ocean and huge it became. And then Lord had earlier told that there will be a pralaya that will happen and I appear as Matsyavatar. And all the rishis and munis and the pure beings, and they all should make a boat and they all should be boarding the ship, and the Lord will personally escort them and save them from the pralaya waters. Lord had earlier predicted it. And that happened. So you read that. And the same pastime we read in Bible. I had read in Bible before. There is a pastime called as Noah and the Ark. Ark is the ship. So the Lord comes and says oh my dear devotee, you are a very noble one. So I want to protect you. There are going to be a very great devastating waters. And all the pure beings will be saved. The animals, your animals and your rishis, all your sages, you put them all together. Same pastime, exactly in Bible and in our Puranas you find. Which is also another kind of corroboration or confirmation. Because, you know, Bible is spoken in one part of the world and our scripture is spoken in another part of the world. But these are all talking about the history of the greater world, of the whole universe. So you find. So Lord comes as a Matsya avatar. Now when Lord comes as Matsya, the devotee sees him as Krishna only. So Krishna has appeared as Matsya. Just like somebody, one man was passing in the road through a house and he heard some children speaking amongst themselves, you know, I want to eat an elephant, one child said. Another child said, I want to eat a tiger, he said. Another child said, no, I only want to eat a kabutar. What is that? Pigeon. I was wondering, what kind of house is this? What creatures are living here? Somebody is going to eat a tiger or lion? What kind of are they rakshasa children? He was thinking. He was curious, so he peeped into the window and saw what are they eating. So they were all eating biscuits, you know. You have seen these biscuits with different shapes? You know? Yeah, we also used to pick up, you know, I like this rabbit, you know. Somebody says, I like elephant. But whatever you may eat, ultimately the material is same. Made up of the same. The taste is also same only. It's not a different taste. So they make biscuits or sometimes this, chocolates also. They make in different shapes like this. In the same manner, all these different forms of the avatars are all made up of only one substance. What are they? What is the substance? Satchidananda. Same. Satchidananda substance. Because when we take bodies, we enter into bodies made of flesh and bones. Whereas Lord doesn't have to take a body of flesh and bones. He comes in his self, same body. Sambhavami Atma Maya, he says. I come in my spiritual body, he says. So this is how the Lord appears in all these forms. As Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsimha, all are spiritual forms. He appears like this. And then he says, that's why she's saying, in these forms you appear like Varaha. When Varaha appeared from the nose of Brahma, even Brahma could not understand who it was. Brahma, all of you can turn like this. Can keep your back to the sun, so you will not feel hot. So, Brahma, in fact all the demigods, there was a big argument amongst Kumaras and Marichi and Brahma and the rishis and munis, who that person could be, who this creature could be. One creature came out of Brahma's nose, zoom, he came out. And then he was, you know, the thumb size, then he became fist size, then he became almost pig size, then he became elephant size. And when he came out like that, nobody could estimate who it was, nobody could ascertain. You see, that's why she's saying tadatyanta vidambanam. It's very bewildering, she says. Some other demigod even thought maybe it's a demon coming in some disguised form. They were all thinking like that. Nobody could ascertain. And then when the Lord came like that, with his tail he slashed the clouds in the sky and he scattered the clouds in all different directions. And also he made a roaring sound of a boar, transcendental boar. As soon as the sages heard that boar sound, immediately their intelligence became enlivened. and they could understand that this is Krishna. Along with that, the Lord also had hairs on his body because he was an aquatic creature. He was like an amphibian creature, like this boar. So he had hairs on his body, and he moved the hairs on his body in one fashion. It sprinkled water on all the demigods and sages, and it was like rose-scented waters. It was so fragrant. That is also special. Like, say, Rishabhadev is the incarnation of the Lord, the fifth canto. And there is a shloka which says he passed a stool and urine at one place, like an avaduta. He wore no dress, he was an avaduta. But when he passed stool, the smell of the stool was so fragrant, for 80 miles distance one could smell it like a scent, like some odonil, or something like that. 80 miles distance. So if anybody claims to be incarnation, you should first tell him to pass stool and check the smell. If somebody can pass such a fragrant stool, then we can accept him as incarnation. They may say, you know, they cannot show Vishwarupa Darshan. No problem. Vishwarupa Darshan may be too big for you. This is more easy to do. That's a speciality of large incarnation. You see? So when this boar is, you know, splashing the water, that water is so... And it also said that transcendental boar had lotus petal like eyes. Have you ever seen a pig having lotus petal like eyes? Maybe other pigs may consider like that, but we won't consider it. Isn't it? But everyone saw it was like Kamala Nayanam. Because it's the same Krishna only. When he becomes a boar, he's the most beautiful boar amongst all boars. When he becomes a fish, he's the most beautiful fish amongst all fishes. Like that. This way Lord incarnates in different forms for performing different leelas. You see? And then one interesting point Prabhupada makes, Virat Purusha was telling you, Mahato Mahiyan. But Lord is also Aniyavar Aniyan. Aniyavar Aniyan means smaller than smallest. Sometimes when you open a old book, you find some dot-like creature moving like this. You have seen that? You have seen sometimes? A dot-like creature moving. Such a tiny creature. Amazing, no? There's life in it. Prabhupada gives the example of a mosquito. Mosquito is such a small aeroplane. It flies and comes and lands on your body, releases its the needle and pokes into your body and sucks out blood. And by the time you feel the pain, you reach the spot, he's already gone. He's flying off. So Prabhupada is asking, scientists are creating 747 jumbo jet, very big airplane, but can they create a mosquito? That they cannot do, he says. So God's greatness is not one-sided, Prabhupada is saying. God's greatness is two-sided. He can create bigger than the biggest planet, and he can create smaller than the smallest creature, like a mosquito or a tiny dot-like creature. Lord's greatness is two-sided, Prabhupada is saying. It's not one-sided. That's an interesting point. So the devotee is therefore no, although he appears among animals, he is not an animal or a man or a rishi or a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. That is why the Lord's birth is called Divyam. Lord's birth and activities are called Divyam. So, Prabhupada says that not only Lord does great things, even Lord's devotees do great things, like Kardama Muni. Modern man is so proud of his aeroplane, but Prabhupada is saying, what great is this aeroplane? Kardama Muni created an aerial mansion, which was like a big city, with lakes and trees and forests and big bungalows and, pleasure valleys and everything. And then he took his wife Devahuti to all the pleasure valleys all over the universe. He flew like that. So Prabhupada is talking about that a bit elaborately also. Which means Prabhupada says, even human beings have mystic powers. But Krishna is called as the master of all mystic powers. Yoga Ishwar. Just like this one Prahlad Jani, you must have read recently. 71 years this fellow didn't eat food or drink water. 71 years, can you imagine? If we fast for one day, for Nirjala Ekadashi, we suffer so much. But he's a human being, still alive. 71 years, no eating, no food, no... And he didn't pass through the urine also. He has practically liberated soul, isn't it? But he is doing it based on some Kundalini Shakti in the body. He is able to. Of course, he is also a firm believer of the Vedas, Vedic scriptures. He is a Shakti worshipper and a yogi living in the caves. He can, you know, when scientists saw that, they were immediately became interested. They picked him up and took him to the laboratory to test his body. They kept him in a room without any latrine bathroom for 15 days to really check whether this fellow is able to live like that. You know? So, if a human being can have some mystic powers like that, to extend his life for 2,000 years, 3,000 years, some people are extending, some siddhas who come to Kumbh Mela, or this man is able to live without eating and sleeping, how much more mystic powers must be there with Krishna, you can imagine. Any mystic power, anybody is like the birds are flying in the sky, that means Krishna must be able to fly. Somebody is able to sing very sweetly in an outstanding way, Krishna must be able to sing very sweetly. All the mystic power should be with Krishna. Also, the master of all mystics. Prabhupada says, when Krishna appeared on earth, not everyone knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although, when there was need, he proved himself as Supreme Godhead. He generally appeared to be just like an ordinary human being. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, while describing how Krishna played as one of the covered boys, points out, this famous verse, please repeat after me. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya.
Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya.
Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena.
Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena.
Mayashitanam naradarakena.
Mayashitanam naradarakena.
Sakam vijarukrita punya punjaha.
Sakam vijarukrita punya
punjaha. See, here he is saying, those who understood Krishna to be God when Krishna appeared in this world, they became his das. They became his servants and they wanted to please him and serve him. But those who thought Krishna is a politician, a king, or an ordinary covered boy, they did not know his supremacy. You know, they were Maya Ashritana. They had taken shelter of Maya Shakti. And they were bewildered and illusioned. And those who became his very intimate devotees, like covered boys, at an equal level they were playing with Krishna, playing kabaddi kabaddi with Krishna, pulling his hands, pulling his legs, eating together, playing together, joking with Krishna. They all became intimate friends of Krishna, he is saying. So, in this way, he is glorifying. Krita Punya Punja, they have performed millions of pious deeds for in millions of lifetimes, after which they have achieved this position of becoming such a close friend of Krishna. So, subsequently, Prabhupada emphasizes on two things. You all know that verse. Esham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante maam dridavratah. If you want to become firmly situated in devotional service, we have to do two things. He says, antagatam papam. We have to stop our sinful program in this world. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. We stop it. That is antakatam papam. Anjananam punya karmanam. What is that punya karma? Punya karma is shrinvatam sakata krishna punya shravana kirtana. Hearing and chanting about Krishna's glories is punya karma. Ultimate punya karma. Not the type of punya that takes you to heaven and brings you back. This type of punya karma will take you back home, back to Godhead. Hearing about Krishna, glorifying him, remembering him and rendering service to him, that is punya karma. So that Prabhupada says, how by doing that one can become bhajante maam dridavrataha. Just like the covered boys, they have done krita punya punja in millions of lifetimes, they achieved this position. Thus Krishna's birth, appearance and disappearance are all bewildering. We conditioned living entities transmigrate from one body to another because we are forced to do so by the laws of nature, but Krishna does not appear because he is forced. That's a difference. Foolish rascals think, I have taken my birth in this world and Krishna has taken birth here also, therefore I am also God. They do not know that they will have to take birth again by the force of laws of nature. Despite so many arrangements by the government for good schools and universities, the civilized countries of the world like America, they are producing hippies, young people who are so frustrated that they even worship hogs But if one associates with the qualities of hogs, one will actually become a hog in one's next birth. Recently, you might have heard this, some symbiosis, some 400 or 500 boys and girls, they went to one village in their vacation for a picnic, and they were smoking and drinking and having illicit program freely. When they were doing all that, the whole, and the hearing rock music and everything, all the villagers came to beat them up. Then it has come in the newspaper, I heard, the villagers made a complaint to the government that how can this people come and do such nonsense here? You know, they are polluting our village, pure place or something like that. So these are all educated boys and girls, and they may be studying BCom or MCom or MBA or whatever. You know, they may do big education, but the quality of their life is lower than that of an animal also. Is it not? You see? So if one lives life like this, then the next life one becomes an animal. Dog or a hog. I am giving you a very recent example, because sometimes when you talk from Bhagavad Gita, people say, Prabhuji, Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years old, you know. So we should give some day-to-day example. You can see, you know, this is the quality of students. You see? Because they are not given the spiritual education. You know, in the name of secularism, if a government is spreading atheism, it is a result of atheistic philosophy. In Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada is talking about hippies, and we are talking about these fellows. Are they in any way lesser than hippies? These people? Yes, see. Yeah. Krishna's appearance and reappearance are meant to put an end to the living entity's transmigration from one body to another. And therefore, one should understand the greatness of the plan behind Krishna's appearance and disappearance. It is not that Krishna comes whimsically. He has a great plan. Otherwise, why should he come here? He is very much eager to take us back home, back to Godhead. That is Krishna's business. Therefore, he says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Charanam Braja. Our situation in the material body is not at all comfortable. But we are such a foolish rascals that we do not care to do anything about this. We are busy trying to arrange for temporary comforts in this life, but we are neglecting the real discomforts of birth, death, old age and disease. And this is our ignorance and our foolishness. Therefore, Krishna comes to wake us up from this ignorance and take us back home, back to Godhead. Beautiful purport. So Krishna is so kind. If somebody is fortunate to get in touch with devotees and hear about Krishna and hear about his wonderful sweet pastimes, and they develop a little attraction for this, their spiritual life immediately begins. And then it is possible in one lifetime one can go back to Godhead. Whatever ashram you accept, Grihastha ashram or Brahmacharya ashram, if you are really sincere and serious and you lead a pure life without any material motives, you simply have a desire to serve Krishna and go back to Godhead, in this very life one can go back. Actually, we don't want to do anything in this material world that it will implicate us and get bound. We only want to act in such a way that we can purify our heart and we can help the other living beings purify their hearts also. This material world is a horrible place. Prasanna Sarupsi said it is no place for a gentleman. It's a horrible place. Not only there are innumerable sufferings like birth, old age, disease, death, and there are also quarrels and clashes. Even if you are a gentleman, like, you know, you are going in your scooter peacefully, properly following the left side, you know, somebody comes in a truck, lorry and hits you because it's a drunkard who is driving. And many people have died like that in this world. You will see, like, we are coming from Wada farm, so many huge lorries, you know, they are lying like this with their wheels up, huge bodies, because many people are drinking and driving nowadays. In fact, Gaurang Poo and me, we were talking, almost within a range of, in 6 kilometers, we must have seen 6 lorries. Gaurang Prabhu was telling, it's such a shocking thing to see nowadays. If people are driving like that, material world means any time, any danger. So, this body is a fragile body, which is liable to be, destroyed any time. And we have to always remember this fact, Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala. Krishna consciousness is an eternal practice. Whatever you do a little bit, you make progress, next life you will continue from there. We have to prepare our sadbhavana, a very, very positive consciousness, and a consciousness that is very enthusiastic for devotion service. by dint of pure association of reading Prabhupada books and associating with devotees, chanting, hearing, reading, preaching. Actually, our voices are beautiful places where you have no other business other than Krishna consciousness. Rising in the morning, and it is not a place where you just eat nice prasad, you know, you chant and dance in the morning and then you eat prasad and take rest. It's a place of preaching. You preach, it's like a vibrant place for preaching and, you know, distributing the good fortune that you have achieved in your life, sharing it with so many other living beings. And Krishnananda Prabhu once told me, "Radhishyam, I am so thankful to you for starting this base program." He said, after seeing this, he said, all over India many temples have started. Nowadays, he said, wherever any city I go, I find a group of students. I go and stay with them and I give them lectures. They give me a nice prasad. They give me a separate room. I can read, write, hear and do program. He said, I feel I am already in spiritual world. He was ecstatic. Such a nice program. If you are really enjoying this facility, then you should want to, every one of you should create multiple centers like this. All over India, all over the world, and give this good fortune. Actually, if any of you have gone through terrible sufferings in your teenage life, you can understand the good fortune you achieved by joining boys. Some boys have got into trouble with girls. Some boys have got into bad habits like smoking, drinking, drugs and all. Now they have come out. But when they look back, they say, "Prabhuji, I was saved in my life. I was falling into an endless pit." It is such an endless pit, you can never come out only. That's our nature, because it's a sinful cycle. If you know, it's a vicious cycle. You can never come out. If one tries to meddle with sex life, if one tries to meddle with this liquor and drinks like that, it's very difficult to come out. But our wise life teaches such a Brahminical culture, Vedic culture, pure culture it is. And we are very slow in expanding. We have to go very fast. All the city, every city should have a youth forum, and every temple should have brahmacharis and boys preaching actively in the colleges. Someday we should have a voice for every college in India. If India, Prabhupada said, if you make this in India, that is enough. Don't worry about the world. First you do in India. Because once Indians wake up, they will go all over the world and they will create a... Prabhupada said, one Indian, what he did. One Prabhupada, you can see how much potency he had, how much he did. That is why if you focus on Indians well, and Indians turn back to their original Vedic heritage, they will really transform the whole world in a very powerful way. Srila Prabhupada ki, and Kashimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much. Very sorry to keep you all in this hot sun.